Welcome back to Battle Plan, a spiritual warfare podcast. I'm Steve Hemphill, and our website is active-faith.org. Our goal is to take back territory, expel evil, and heal through spiritual growth. Today, the topic is prayer and scripture are weapons. This Battle Plan episode is one of several in a series on spiritual weapons available to all Christians. I've discovered over 70 weapons in all, so come along for the ride as we evaluate these together and improve your ability to fight Satan's advances on your life. The idea here is to keep adding weapons until what you're praying for begins to happen. You might even think of some I haven't discovered yet, so let this series encourage you to be creative as you make personal progress against your unseen enemies.
Hello. And welcome back to Lesson 10, or Weapon 10, of Volume 1 on the Spiritual Weapon Series, Spoken Rebuke. Now, we've already covered 9, those being prayer, scripture, prayer plus touch, prayer plus fasting, prayer plus watching, prayer plus oil, prayer plus confession, spoken truth, spoken bindings. So we're ready for the last in this volume, Spoken Rebukes. Let me start with Ezekiel 5:15. You will become an object of mockery and taunting and horror. You will be a warning to all the nations around you. They will see what happens when the Lord punishes a nation in anger and rebukes it. So God's anger and rebuke go together in this verse. Psalm 119, verse 21. Says, you rebuke the arrogant. Those who wander from your commands are cursed. We'll talk later about curses, but in this case, we're focusing on God rebuking the arrogant. Again, that's another word for prideful people. Psalm 119:21 also says that rebukes can be like curses. Proverbs 17:10, a single rebuke does more for a person of understanding than 100 lashes on the back of a fool. So a spoken rebuke can help more than physical punishment. Proverbs 30, verse 6, those who add to God's words are in danger of being rebuked. We should not add to what God says. It brings His rebuke, and that includes His anger. Zechariah 3, verse 2, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is it not a brand plucked from the fire? So this led to my researching this idea of a spoken rebuke. Now, Matthew 8:26 says, Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. So Jesus' spoken rebuke changed the physical landscape. And notice that he rebuked the thing causing fear. Fear and faith can't coexist. If you allow yourself to focus on your fears, your faith evaporates. If you train yourself as a Christian to focus on your faith that God will see you through, it's your fears that go away. In Luke 4:39, standing at her bedside, Jesus rebuked the fear and it left her, and she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. So Jesus' spoken rebuke healed in this case. Mark 16:14, still later he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. So Jesus rebuked the unbelief of his followers who had witnessed the resurrection. Some of his followers hadn't seen it with their own eyes, so they didn't believe. Jesus rebuked that unbelief. Second-hand faith should lead to first-hand faith, is what that teaches. Matthew 17:14-15 and verse 18 says, at the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment on, the boy was well. So demons can be rebuked by a spoken rebuke delivered in faith by believers. Mark 9:25, when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, see, there's different kinds of spirits, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Jesus here reveals the possibility, and other stories do too, of rebuking a demon and leaving, and commanding also that they not return. One of the things we did with Billy's story was command that no similar demons could return, and we put those demons where they couldn't get to the people again, too, with chains in a pit. We'll talk about that in just a second. But Jesus also commanded no returning, and it's wise to do the same thing as you get involved in this. Jude verse 9 is interesting. This is when Michael is fighting with Satan over the body of Moses. That's an interesting study. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Now, it's possible here that angels don't have the same authority to rebuke that we as his image bearers have. So that's one of the indications by this verse. Luke 17:13, watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Rebuke involves a judgment. It's a command to make judgments. We say, well, quit judging. But Christians are supposed to judge each other. And we're supposed to rebuke another believer only, not the I'm not mad that the world endorses sin. That's expected. I'm mad when Christians endorse sin. So when other Christians endorse something that is sinful, sometimes they're blinded by their own evil desires. Some people can be blinded. Some ministers can be blinded to certain sins because their children are involved in them. And so they need the rebuke. They need to be rebuked by another believer. Christians are to speak a rebuke to other Christians involved in sin. Notice that Daniel rebuked Goliath. 1 Samuel 17:26, he shows up and Goliath has been taunting Israel for 40 days. He rebuked him and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He should defy the armies of the living God." It doesn't matter that if he's 30 feet tall, God's on our side because we're in covenant with God. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant. Luke 4:41, many were possessed by demons, and the demons came out at his command, shouting, "You're the Son of God." But because they knew he was the Messiah, he rebuked them and refused to let them speak. He silenced them. Jesus' spoken rebuke, in this case, silenced the demons. Interesting verse, because if you remember the story about Billy, we used him in the beginning in weapon number 3, prayer plus touch. We also spoke a binding on him. We bind and gag any demons attached to Billy that are preventing him from being able to read the Bible or pray. And so we did a prayer plus touch, and we also did a spoken binding. Now, I told that whole story to some missionaries from Africa one day, and they looked at me and said, "What made you think to bind and gag in Jesus' name, put them in chains in the pit until judgment, and then let no other similar demons take their place? What made you think to say those things?" And I said, "You know, I don't know. Verses were just sort of popping in my head as I began to pray for Billy. First of all, I've heard of stories and read stories where people were trying to rebuke demons out of people, and the person who was involved with a demonic entity was started to cuss or scream or throw up or spit or yell, scream. And we see these in many of Jesus' stories too. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to gag you in Jesus' name. This is going to be a quiet procedure. You're not allowed to speak. And by the way, I don't need the name of the demon. I just need the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus is more powerful than any demon. In fact, if you ask for the demon's name and they tell you, you may bind it, and you may be bind. It may lie about its name. They lie, see? So you may bind one that's not even there. So don't trust that. Then they said, "Well, what made you think to put them in chains in the pit?" And I said, "Well, there's a verse in Jude, verse 6, that says that some demons, some angels that left their places of authority, which would be rebellious angels that followed Satan, I now call them demons, they were put in chains in dark pits awaiting judgment." So I said, Billy's demons, I said, "Don't know where that is, but put these with those guys. Put these in chains in a pit till judgment." And then I said, don't let a similar demon take their place. Okay, what was Billy's problem? It was porn. And so many times we see people come forward and confess a sin at church, and we pray for them and they're better. But then 6 months or a year later, guess what they're doing? The same thing they did wrong before. They're back doing porn, or they're back doing drugs, or something else evil. So I thought, well, what's Satan's strategy? If we're binding them and we have the authority to do that and we cast them out, what's Satan doing? And I got to thinking, we don't think strategically. Satan is just putting another one in there that's doing the same thing. He's got a lot of other demons of porn, right? So I said, don't let a similar demon take this one's place in Jesus' name and by his blood, by his power. And so that's what made the difference for many people. Many people have contacted me and said that phrase, and don't let a similar demon take their place, was what finally freed my daughter, freed my grandson, and brought them back to the truth. So consider those things. Now, I had told the story about gagging a demon to a preacher in Washington State. And the next Sunday morning, he was called into the children's wing. And they said, we got a young five-year-old boy that's running around the room screaming. We think it's a demonic manifestation. Now, we had just staked the church, so it's the first time this child had been at the building since it had been staked with Bible verses on the tent stakes. And so maybe that is the catalyst. We don't know. But the preacher went back to the classroom, and sure enough, this little five-year-old boy is running circles around the room, just, screaming, and he wouldn't stop. So the preacher had heard this story about me talking about gagging the demon. So he picked the child up. He's holding the child. He's looking at it, and the child's still screaming, And he says, I gag you in Jesus' name. And the child goes, He could no longer scream. The preacher said, well, Steve's right. That works. You can't make this stuff up. Another time that illustrates kind of the principle here we're talking about is this binding is I was invited to speak in Louisiana one time in West Monroe, and there was a drug rehab center. And this is the first time I'd ever taken the little cards. We have these little plastic cards called spiritual warfare cards. They're in our store. You can make your own. They're durable plastic. They're a little thinner, but about the size of a credit card, a little thinner, maybe a little thicker than a business card. And it was kind of, my thinking was I need something more portable for some people. Ended up, we put them between the some of the stones and brickwork around the Supreme Court before the abortion law got overturned, Roe versus Wade. And we've used them in unique ways like that. But anyway, I had these cards in my pocket, first time we'd ever used them and had them. And I got invited to speak at this rehab center. It was a secure facility. I had to go through security. They had to do a background check on me, had to leave my billfold and driver's license, you know, at the front desk. An armed guard took me and two other people in an elevator up to a second floor of this secure facility. And they turned me loose in a room that was the size of a small gymnasium with all kinds of guys in there. Some of these guys were big and strong, looked like linebackers in the NFL, and some had makeup and false eyelashes. All kind of guys in this room. And they said, this is Steve. He's the steak guy. Tell him your steak stories. They call me the steak guy many places I go. So I started telling them stories and how this came about. And we only had an hour with these guys. And about 45 minutes into the hour, I thought to myself, one of these guys might have a question and I'll never see them again. I should stop and ask if anybody has a question. Now, I had never done that before. This was a new thought for me. You're kind of putting yourself on the line and out there when you offer open floor question and answer. But I did. I said, does anybody have a question? And this big, strong guy looked like one of those NFL linebackers raised his hand. Yeah, I got a question. I said, yes, sir. What's your question? He said, I got three demons that follow me everywhere I go. How do I get rid of them? Now, I'll tell you, many people who have been on drugs, their eyes have been opened to the unseen world. I've heard it over and over and over. This guy was honest enough to tell me what he was seeing, and I had never had that question before. And so he asked the question, and as you could hear a pin drop in that room, and I was standing there thinking, why did I ask for questions? But then it sort of clicked in my head, and I had those little cards in my pocket. And I pulled one out, and I walked over to him, and I stuck it in his pocket. And I said, what I just put in your pocket is God's word. Do you understand the power of God's word? God's word is so powerful. He spoke his word, and the world was created. the planets came into being. The sun and moon and stars became real. And that's how powerful. He spoke the universe into being with spoken word. That's how powerful his word is. And that word is in your pocket. And I said, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen Star Trek? He said, yeah. I said, so you know what a force field is, right? He says, yeah, I know what a force field is. I said, think of God's word as your own personal force field. Don't go anywhere without that in your pocket, that little card with God's word. Think of it as your portable bubble of protection, your portable force field. So everywhere you go, they can't get to you anymore. And I said, you understand the principle? He said, I got it. And I said, now I'm going to pray for you. And I put my hand on his shoulder. That's prayer plus touch. And I said, Lord, we want to bind and gag the three demons that have been following him everywhere he goes. We ask you to put them in chains in the pit until judgment, and don't let any other similar demons take their place. In Jesus' name, amen. I said, you won't see those three anymore. Anybody else have a question? Act like I did that every day. I've never done that before. Another guy said, I got a question. I'm having nightmares every night. Well, he's in a facility, and they won't even let him go outside without armed guards. So I knew he had a bed that was his bed and nobody else's bed. So I said, I'm going to give you four of these cards. And I counted out 1, 2, 3, 4. I put them in his pocket. And I said, you heard what I told him about God's word being powerful? He said, I heard it. I said, you understand the principle? He said, I understand it. And I said, I want you to put those four cards with God's word on it under the four corners of your bed. And I want you to read the verses out loud. And I want you to pray and ask God to make that place a place of safety for you, where you're completely protected from any unseen evil. I said, do you understand? He said, I understand. I said, now I'm going to pray for you. I put my hand on his shoulder, prayer plus touch. And I said, Lord, we want to bind all the demons that are causing nightmares in his life in Jesus' name and by his blood, and ask you to put him in chains in the pit until judgment, and don't let any other similar demons that also give nightmares back into his life. In Jesus' name, amen. I said, you won't have those nightmares anymore. Anybody else got a question? Act like I did that every day. I'd never done that before. And about 2 weeks later, I'm traveling to the Dallas area for a Wednesday night event, and my phone rings. And I pick it up, and it says, Hammond, Louisiana. Well, I don't know anybody in Hammond. I've never been to Hammond. I've never heard of Hammond. I said, hello. This lady goes, is this Steve Hemphill? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, oh, good. I need you to pray for this and for this and for this and pray about this and pray for our preacher because he's doing this and he shouldn't be doing that and pray for this. And she starts giving me a long and very detailed prayer list. I don't even know this lady. And I mean, I can't get a word in edgewise to say, you know, how'd you get a hold of me? Finally, she took a breath. I said, ma'am, hold on just a second. Where'd you get my number? And why do you want me to pray for this stuff? She said, oh, my aunt has a grandson in a drug rehab center in West Monroe, Louisiana. And he was having nightmares every night till you gave him those cards that went under the bedposts and you prayed with him and he never had another bad dream. All the nightmares stopped. So I knew you were the one to call. And I said, well, ma'am, are you a Christian? She said, yes. I said, then you can pray. You don't need me. I don't have a special hotline to God that you don't have. It's level at the foot of the cross. We're all equal. We all have the same authority in Christ. She said, you know, you're right, but I still want you to pray. So I prayed for her and I never heard from her again. Prayer is powerful. Prayer works. Don't give up. Keep praying. Lord, thank you for reminding me that a rebuke in your name is powerful, powerful enough to thwart Satan himself. Give me the boldness and willpower to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've covered all 10 now in volume 1. Prayer, scripture, prayer plus touch, prayer plus fasting, prayer plus watching, prayer plus oil, prayer plus confession, and then spoken truth, spoken bindings, and spoken rebukes. Watch for volume 2 coming out very soon. And I want to remind you to keep praying because prayer works. God loves you and I love you. Have a great day.